Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity just to give back to you a portion that you have blessed us with. We pray for these tithes and these offerings, and we ask that you would use them and multiply them to expand your kingdom. And Father, glorify yourself, honor yourself, and may you be blessed through everything else that is done here this morning. We praise you and we love you. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. If you will go with Joanna, she will take you to the class, and you will have a great lesson here this morning. You know, one of the reasons why we started sharing our hearts and our joys and our testimonies is to encourage one another. I personally believe that the human nature is to be inward focused, to be inward looking at ourselves and our situation. And yet God desires that we look outward. He desires that we look to one another. He desires that we look to others before we look to ourselves. And so as we share those times, how God is working in our hearts, in our world, and as we share how we want God to work in our world, my hope is that we will all be encouraged. We will all be uplifted, and we will all begin to see a perspective that we might not have seen before. But the downside is that is we are at 10 till here this morning, and yet we haven't even gotten to the Word of God. There's a hymn that goes this way. Though I may speak with bravest fire, and have the gift to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain, as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though I may give all I possess, and striving so my love profess, but not be given my love within, the profit soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed. Here at Trinity, we are involved in many ministries, and last week we looked at the unity of the body, and we ended up last week with the greatest of these, is what the Apostle Paul said. And I challenged all of us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you'll know with me that that is what we call sometimes the love chapter. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. Love does not boast at wrong, it is not rude, it is not arrogant, but love is of God. And so basically, that's where we're at. We're going through a series titled Life with One Another. And last week we looked at the unity of the body of Christ. This week it's all about loving one another. And I want to turn to our text. Our text is found in John chapter 13, and we will be looking at verses 31 through 35. You know, friends, love is an amazing thing. Love can change our thoughts. Love can even change our desires. And love can change our feelings. Love can, in fact, impact our actions of what we do and what we don't do. There was a young man who said to his father at breakfast one morning, he said, "Dad, I'm going to get married." His father responded. He said to his young son, "How do you know you're ready to get married? Are you in love?" The son looked at his father and said, "I sure am." His father responded and said, "How do you know that you are in love?" The young fellow responded and said, "Last night as I was kissing my girlfriend goodnight, her dog bit me and I didn't feel the pain until I got home." It is funny. It's funny. It's okay to laugh. You know, love can numb pain. Love cannot allow us to feel certain things. Love can cause us to feel things that we ought not feel. And yet, deep down inside all of us, we want to feel loved. We want to experience that blissful feeling where we don't feel the pain. It's that honeymoon phase of life. We don't want to feel pain. And deep down inside, you and me, all we want and all we yearn for is something. And that something is love. It's a love that satisfies our soul. We all want to feel that strong emotional reaction, which is felt in the form of acceptance from others. It's felt in security with our flaws and security in our relationships or friendships that are a blessing. And yet you and I, we all struggle from time to time by not feeling loved and sometimes being around people who are difficult to love. We can even feel like the man who was working a crossword puzzle and he asked, what is a four-letter word for a strong emotional reaction toward a difficult person? Someone standing by nearby said, the answer is hate. A lady interrupted and said, no, the answer is love. You see, everyone, you and I, we're all working that same crossword puzzle of life. But the way that we answer that question is up to you and to me. Whether or not we respond with hate or if we respond with love. And friends, Jesus, he's given us the crossword puzzle of life, and he's even given us the answer. As I mentioned, our text this morning is in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Listen to the words of Jesus. When Jesus had gone out, he said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You see, this is the answer to our lives, which oftentimes feels like a crossword puzzle we are to live. And Jesus commands us to love. Well, let's be sure we understand who he's talking about here. He's not talking about who we are to love. He's talking about you and me. In this passage, the command Jesus issues is one for you and for me. He's speaking to all believers who seek to follow him, and it includes all those in the body of Christ. And we, my friends, are to love one another. This love must cross denominational lines, and this love must cross race and gender and social and geographical lines. This love must be sincere, it must be pure, and it must be true. I was searching the scriptures to find some picture of what type of love God, Jesus, wants us to love, and I came up with the Garden of Gethsemane. That would be one, where Jesus, in his anguish, his pain, his suffering, his torment, he began, as the Gospel of Luke teaches, that he began to sweat drops of blood because he was torn so much as to what he was about to do. Just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you and I, we all have a choice to love one another or not. We all have a choice to stretch ourselves out upon a limb and to be vulnerable and begin to love one another. The other choice we have is true too. C.S. Lewis says it this way in The Four Loves, in the book that he wrote. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap your heart carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable. It will become impenetrable. It will become irredeemable. And the only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. That's true, my friends. To love is to extend ourselves out. To love is to care about others before we care about ourselves. To love as Jesus commands you and I to love one another even as he loved us. What I'm about to suggest here this morning, it will be costly to you and me. What I'm about to challenge you and I to this morning may place you and me in situations where we have to sacrifice. And what I'm about to share will most definitely, when Trinity United Methodist Church rises to the challenge, will position Trinity to have a voice in this community. This morning's message is about love, and I realize much has been written, much has even been spoken over the years about love, yet I believe there's a message which all of us need to hear. And the message specifically deals with the reason we are to love one another. My cousin was in the Navy years ago, and he was not a believer, and he was closing down a bar, and he was on his way home after he spent the night in a bar. Every Sunday morning, he'd pass the same group of Christians, and at the time, he didn't realize that they were believers. And they would be joyful and jovial, and they would be laughing and chatting and talking, and yet there was something unexplainable about them. And finally, curiosity got the best of him, and one Sunday morning, as he was stumbling home, he walks up to them, and he says, "What is it? What do you guys have? Because I want something that you have." And they began to share the love of Christ, that they were believers in Christ, that they were followers of Jesus, and lo and behold, my cousin became a Christian. Now, friends, I'll share that with you, and I'll share it again. They didn't say one word to him. They loved one another. And friends, this is exactly why it's so essential for Trinity United Methodist Church to love one another, because in verse 35, we're going to see in a few moments that Jesus himself says, "By your love for one another, all people will know that you are my disciples." You see, there's a watching world out there. There's a world that is watching how we take care and how we treat and how we deal with one another. And this is the foundation of everything that we do, everything that we believe, everything that we claim to believe, to live. Let's look at the reason we are to love one another. In verse 34, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." You see, Jesus gives us a new commandment. He commands you and me to love one another as he loved us. And I want all of us to know the type of love that Jesus has for you and for me. We must know that we are loved by a holy God, loved so much that he sent Jesus, his only son, to take our place and to die for our mistakes. To die because we are not perfect and we have fallen short of his glorious standard of perfection. You see, Jesus laid down his life for you and me. He gave it all. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And Jesus loved you and me as he stepped out of heaven and walked this earth. The Creator God walking on his creation. The Creator God becoming like you and me, his creation. The Creator God experiencing life as we experience it. Friends, this is the picture of Jesus' love for you and for me. All through the Gospels, we could look and we could see other pictures of Jesus' love. When he taught truth, when he touched the lepers, when he was feeding and, you know, multiplied the bread and the fish. His weeping over Lazarus' death. His lamenting over the scattering of Jerusalem. The stilling of the storm and the crucifixion. The other miracles. The other healings. And friends, these pictures are for you and for me. They are pictures that show a love that is sacrificial, a love that gets into the situation and feels the pain of another person. These pictures show Jesus' emotions, such as weeping and lamenting and speaking truth in love, and they show the anguish of what was required of him. Now, you and I, we might be saying that I don't do miracles, I can't heal anyone. I want to challenge all of us on this point here. We may not have the gift of healing or the gift of multiplying loaves and fishes, but what we do have is the opportunity to get into the world of those people who are hurting. Remember, Jesus is talking to followers of him. He's talking to believers in Christ. So he's telling you and me to love each other. He's telling you and me, rather, he's commanding us to get into the life experiences of one another as he got into our lives. Friends, we're being commanded by Christ to love one another in the same manner that Jesus has loved us. Love that is sacrificial, love that is compassionate, love that is empathetic, and love that is looking out for the best interest of the other. Love that is serving the other. Love that looks for nothing in return. love that is pure and true, and love that reflects the pure love which has been poured into your heart and mind through the Holy Spirit. Thomas A. Kempis said this. He said, whoever loves much does much. Here at Trinity, we've focused on the doing for far too long, I'm afraid. We need to begin to be. We need to get about being people of love, being followers of love incarnate, Christ our King. We need to be about loving, and then in that love, we will be doing much. We need to stop focusing in on the actions, because when we do, we miss the love. Let's focus upon loving one another. You may be wondering, what about those outside the church or those people who are not believers in Christ, and what about them? You may even be saying, are we not supposed to love them too? And the answer is yes, we are called to love our neighbor. But the result, friends, it starts at home. It starts with you and me. It starts with our church family. It starts here, loving one another, because the world is watching. Jesus said in verse 35, he said, by this all people, by your love for one another, all people will know that you are my followers, if you have love for one another. Friends, when we have that same type of love Jesus has for you and me, for one another, the result will always be all people will know that we are followers of Christ. We won't need to say anything. We won't need to share anything. There should be something different, so radically different about how we order our lives that people will know. And I close with the following short true story shared by D.L. Moody some years ago. D.L. Moody stated this one day when he was preaching. He said, show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that has power in the community. You see, quite frankly, I'm not interested in just doing church. I'm not interested in just coming to church on Sundays and going home. I have no time for that. What I am interested in is I'm interested in being a part of God's plan of redemption and bringing up people out of the hopelessness and helplessness of this world in which they reside. I am interested in being a part of God buying back and redeeming those people that are lost and they have no hope. So friends, how do we do that? The first step is we start by loving one another, because in that love, the world will be watching. And we will have a platform, because we will have something that this world never has known nor has ever seen. And it will be a platform that it will be a power in the community of Gibsonburg. D.L. Moody continues on and he says, in Chicago a few years ago, a little boy attended a Sunday school. When his parents moved to another part of the city, the little fellow still attended the same Sunday school, although it meant a long, tiresome walk each way. A friend asked this young man why he went so far and told him that there were plenty of other churches just as good nearer to his home. This young man responded and he said, they may be as good for others, but not for me. His friend said, why not? The young man said, because they love a fellow over there. If only, friends, we could make the world believe that we love them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door. So my challenge is this. Let love replace duty. I'll say that again. Let love replace duty. My challenge, I'm taking a team of people up to Western Avenue this afternoon. Anybody who wants to go, you're welcome. But my challenge is this. We shouldn't and may we not view it as a duty. May we view it as an act of love. As an act of love to go and to serve people. But we've got to start here at home. We have to start with one another. We have to love sacrificially. We have to love others and place others' interests before our own. Let us all strive to love one another with the pure, the sacrificial love that Jesus modeled for you and me. May we all seek to walk with one another through life with the motive of loving one another as Jesus loved us. And may we all yearn to give the love of Christ, who he has given to you and to me, to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And may we all expect a watching world to notice the love that we have one for another. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your truth. And Lord, we thank you for your challenge. Jesus, we pray that you would just increase our love for you, increase our love for one another. May you just show us and lead us and guide us. May we truly express our love one for another each and every day, so that the watching world, the village of Gibsonburg, would take note, and they would look and they would say, there's something different there. And so, Father, we thank you for this challenge. We thank you most of all for your love for us. We praise you and we honor you, and we commit this into your holy care of Jesus our King. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our closing song.
Oh.
God of all love, may he fill your heart, mind, and soul with his love that is beyond our comprehension. May his peace that is beyond any understanding here in this world, may that saturate your very being. May his love capture your heart. And as we depart, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the love of Christ be the motivation each and every day for you and for me. Go in peace.